or to some demon, or to say to you that this life, as you now live it and have lived it in the past, you would have to live once more, but innumerable times more. There would be nothing new in it. Every pain, every joy, every unutterably small or great thing in your life would just return to you. The same succession, same sequence, again and again, like an hourglass of time. Imagine infinity. Consider the possibility that every action you choose, Yosef, you choose for all time. Then all unlived life would remain inside you. Unlived throughout eternity.
That's a clip from the 2007 film When Nietzsche Wept, in which the characters talk about the concept of eternal recurrence. The concept is the subject of a book called Nietzsche's Life Sentence, Coming to Terms with Eternal Recurrence. Lawrence Attab is the author of the book. He's also a philosophy professor at Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia. Attab told Steve Paulson how Nietzsche introduces the concept of eternal recurrence in Thus Spoke Zarathustra.
Well, it's a story that he tells about this figure, Zarathustra, and he represents Nietzsche's life affirmation philosophy. He's a character who comes from isolation down from the mountain to speak with human beings about his insights. And the basic theme of it is to love the earth and to love earthly existence and to reject otherworldly doctrines and religions and things that look elsewhere for meaning in life. And yet he doesn't have a full set of beliefs to establish. He himself has to go through the confrontation with this idea of what would it mean to affirm life truly in all of its aspects. And this notion of eternal recurrence occurs in the text as the teaching that would most test Zarathustra's and anyone's ability to say yes to life. The idea that if life returns in exactly the same way, infinitely returning the same effects of life over and over again, so a cycle just runs its course and then repeats itself, this teaching becomes a kind of test for your capacity to say yes to life. And I think that Nietzsche meant that, well, if you found the idea of the eternal repetition of your life with no resolution, with no change over into something better, that this would be a real test of how you could accommodate life. And Zarathustra goes through this very same struggle because he realizes that, well, if everything comes back in the exact same way, then all the people and the beliefs that he hates, you know, the beliefs that are against life, the beliefs that are looking for another life, they come back too. And so he has to face the struggle of even wanting, being able to affirm the fact that the small man and the doctrines that he hates come back as well. So the idea is a fascinating one because what it poses is that, well, what would you say about life if you knew that all you were going to do is live it over again and again identically?
Right. It sounds sort of profoundly depressing, especially because you have to go back to all the bad stuff that has happened. And somehow you have to find meaning and I suppose even joy in that.
Well, that's the proposal in the text. And I think Nietzsche is very, not only is that a profound idea, but the story is profound because he doesn't simply say, well, this is the way it is. What do you think? He tells the story of this character, Zarathustra, who has to confront it in a deep way and experiences nausea at the idea that everything that he works against would have to come back as well. Because typically people would like to think that life in one way or another would work out things and overcome things that one hates or what one opposes, but that's the power of the idea. Could you say yes to life if you knew that everything would come back in the same way? And in the scholarship, this is typically focused on things like, well, that would mean the Holocaust returns. And who could say yes to the eternal repetition of life if it meant that the Holocaust came back as well? And that's, of course, a very legitimate question to ask because that's the power of the idea. It asks you, could you say yes to life if everything that you opposed also came back as well?
Did Nietzsche mean to take this idea of eternal recurrence literally, or is this more a metaphor?
Well, that's interesting because the book that I wrote tries to wrestle with that question because most scholars tend to think that even though in his notebooks, he experimented with physics and certain scientific accounts of how it might be possible to show cyclic repetition through physical laws. Nevertheless, he never published anything in that regard. And so many scholars say, well, he just didn't think he could pull it off, and he simply held that back. And so most scholars will read eternal recurrence as a kind of symbol for something, a symbol for life affirmation, let's say, or a symbol for time, or a symbol for struggle in general. And the idea there is that people tend to think, well, he couldn't have meant it literally. I mean, that's just too strange. And the fact that he gave up the idea of a scientific account of it makes them think that, well, he couldn't have meant it literally, and so it's our job to try to decode the idea. But I became convinced that in one sense he did mean it literally. He did mean this idea to be presented in just the way that it says. And it's really quite a simple idea, is that everything returns in the exact same way. What it means and why he did it is the complicated thing. And I try to wrestle with this by saying, well, he may not have meant it as a scientific fact, but I think he really meant us to take it literally. Because if you were going to think of it as just a symbol for something else, then you miss the force of the idea, because the force of the idea makes you have to think literally of things that have happened to your life, right? So that you could really confront the power of the idea. So I try to argue that he may not have meant it as a fact, scientifically, let's say, but rather, but he did mean it to be taken in just the way that he said it. Now, that doesn't take any of the strangeness away. In fact, it makes it even worse, because why would someone as brilliant as Nietzsche, or why would anyone come up with this idea that life just keeps coming back in the exact same way?
But you're saying,
but of course, the Stoics had that same idea. In the post-classical period, the Stoics had a similar idea about exact repetition.
Now, it would seem that this is kind of a quirky idea of Nietzsche's. I mean, okay, yeah. Kind of interesting, but, you know, let's move on to something more serious. But it sounds like you're saying this is actually one of his profound ideas and actually quite central to his overall philosophy.
Well, I'm convinced of that. I think it is central to his philosophy. Whether or not one accepts it is another question, of course. But for him, and this is the interesting thing for a Nietzsche scholar, because he's such a brilliant thinker, then one thinks, wow, why would he have thought so intently on this idea when it does seem so strange? But in my reading, Nietzsche's philosophy really is built around the whole question of how can one confront life as it is, which has all the tragedy that life has, because none of us escapes alive. How can one confront life as it is with all of its good and bad things together in a way that could give a yes answer to the question of, do you affirm life? And I believe he thought eternal recurrence was the most powerful test that could bring that question out, because it sort of forces you to look at your life just the way it is and ask yourself, well, if that's all there is, am I satisfied? Do I feel cheated? And so on. So it does fit his general philosophy, because it really is a philosophy about coming to terms with life without having any otherworldly ideas or even the idea of progress in the future that would fix everything.
Just to make that point clear, I mean, Nietzsche is, of course, the philosopher who famously declared that God is dead. And, I mean, he was reacting against the whole idea of the afterlife, that, well, things will get better later on, you know, once we've departed from this earth. And so this is a very humanistic philosophy and trying to find affirmation in what might seem to be kind of a nihilistic perspective.
Well, in fact, when he talked about the death of God, he meant that, well, you know, theology is no longer the center of thinking. It's still, people still believe in God, but it's no longer the requirement, the intellectual requirement. And so if God is now withdrawn from having the prominence that it had in previous ages, then the question is, well, what's left? And many modern thinkers say, well, we can replace God with secular notions that would do just as well, if not better. But Nietzsche actually took the existence of God very seriously, because he said this was an idea that was as powerful a thought as there was in the West. And in fact, the idea of God in Western thought was so productive of so many other things, including political ideas, scientific ideas, because all the great thinkers up to a certain point did still have a theology as part of their thinking. So he thought if God really is out of the picture, then pretty much everything sort of falls apart. And then the question is, well, what are we left with? And one of the possibilities would be, just as you said, we'd be left with nihilism. We'd be left with something that doesn't mean anything. And sometimes Nietzsche is taken to be a nihilist, but really he sees nihilism as a genuine possibility that has to be confronted, but his hope was always that one could overcome nihilism and have an affirmative posture towards life. And again, eternal recurrence becomes the test to see if that is possible.
But it's interesting, he's also rejecting the idea of progress, because there are those other famous secular thinkers, of Karl Marx being an obvious case, who, you know, who thought that things would keep getting better and better for humankind, that, you know, we could improve the social conditions and, you know, there would be better societies in the future. And Nietzsche's really throwing all that out.
Well, and as I said, that's how seriously he took the idea of God as this final consummated truth, because he said even though theology may have withdrawn, many secular doctrines simply transferred this idea of putting all things together into worldly terms. And so without believing in God, one might believe in a utopia. One might believe in the final solution of social problems in a communist society, or other kinds of ideas. There was a great belief in the progress of technology, that it would make life better and better. Nietzsche seems to lump all these ideas together, whether it's religion or progress or optimism for the future, as being wishful thinking. Not that he denies that there can be good things, but that the idea that all of existence could somehow wrap up into a solved package, that he rejected as a kind of a flight from reality. So he always wanted to force us to face the tragedy of things, and he thought the tragedy was the truth. And certainly eternal recurrence taps into that, because if one thinks that not only does my life come to an end, but I have to go through it again and again and again, including all, in my book, I mentioned that, well, for me, one of the hardest things to accept would be high school all over again. I the thought of going through high school, it just fills me with terror.
Lawrence Attab is the author of Nietzsche's Life Sentence, Coming to Terms with Eternal Recurrence. He spoke with Steve Paulson.